In the name of the risen Christ. Amen. So today I'm going to spend all my time talking about Thomas. Thomas the twin, Thomas Didymus, Thomas known as the doubter. And I'd hope to leave you with one thing, and mainly, is that doubt is a terrible word for this gospel. It's translated in the NRSV as doubt, but there is little evidence that this is a good translation. I'm going to talk about doubt and unbelief and belief and hope to sort of split those apart for you a little bit. Before I talk about that, however, I want to talk about Thomas. Thomas is my guy. I really like him. I mean, he is a quintessential idealist. If you look at Thomas and his life, there's not many scriptures about him. There's just a few. There's lots of tradition around Thomas. Like, he's the guy that went to India. He's got a gospel attributed to him. But the scriptural evidence that we have is pretty sparse. Thomas was a guy who was so idealistic that he was bought out and sold out for Jesus that he was willing to go to Jerusalem to die with him and the other disciples. And I want to propose to you, that's where the rub comes in. See, he is so idealistic. When he looked around at the betrayal, not of Jesus, but of his friends, it undid him. So let's go to Jesus. Let's go to Jerusalem where he might die with Jesus. And when that thing came to pass, he looked around and said, "Am I alone here?" You know, Peter is off cursing himself, saying, "I don't know the guy." John's running off half naked. You've got Judas who's betraying him for a few coins. I mean, when Thomas looked at the cause that Jesus was proclaiming, and he looked at the people that were supposed to proclaim this cause, and they were nowhere to be found, he said, "I'm done." But to Thomas's credit, he was done, but he kept showing up. Now, if I had believed in a cause, and I had seen the followers of that cause behave the way they did, I don't think I'd show up anymore. But every week, where is he? He's with the very people who had sort of scattered like sheep after Jesus had died. He was in the upper room. And did you notice this? He shows up week after week, hoping that maybe, just maybe, this thing could really be true. But Thomas, this guy has been burned. I mean, he was ready to lead the cause. He was the senior warden, the junior warden, the capital campaign manager, the outreach leader. He was there when the church doors were open. He was there to close it up at night. I mean, this guy was he was in it to win it, right? And when he saw the behavior of his friends, he still could not quite give up. He still kept hanging on, hoping, maybe just hoping, that things might work out. But if you've ever been betrayed, if you've ever had people say one thing and do the other, you know how incredibly difficult it is. When the face of somebody who's hypocritical and has betrayed you and has hurt you, for you to turn around and say, "Yeah, I'm back in the game," right? So here's Thomas wanting to get back in the game, but simply cannot do it. That's why I feel Thomas. You know, if you've ever felt sort of like you've looked around and he says, "Does anybody practice what they preach?" You'll know what Thomas might have felt like that day. So then, Jesus comes to the locked upper room and says, "Touch my hands, touch my side." Now here's where the Greek comes in, and I think here's where the rub is when we call him Doubting Thomas. Now I've probably preached 30, 40 sermons like this, and so I repent of what I've preached, and all sermons of here to pass will now be revoked, and I want to move forward. Because the Doubting Thomas sermon, I think, is really, really unhelpful. Because what we do is we style Thomas as this sort of 21st century cynic, right? He's just a doubter. But anyway, I've said this many, many times, and I repent of that too. Well, doubt and faith are the side of the same coin, and, you know, doubt is part of your faith. Well, that's true, but that's not what Thomas is about. He's not a 21st century cynic. He is not somebody who's struggling with whether the Virgin Mary was a virgin or the resurrection really happened. What he is struggling with is, how do I love this Jesus? And more importantly, how do I love his people when I've been hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt? And that's where Jesus comes in. He says, "Touch my hands, touch my side." And this is where the Greek comes in. Do not doubt, but believe. Terrible translation. Just horrible. Because there's two words, and I promise I won't bore you to death if you can't stand me talking about Greek. But there's two words. There's distazo, starts with a D, and then pistos. So distazo shows up in Matthew 14 when Peter is walking on water, and he's like, man, I am awesome. Look at me. I'm rocking and rolling. Oh, my gosh. He looks down, and he starts sinking. And Jesus says to Peter, don't distazo, you of little faith, but believe. And so Peter's looking around, and his doubts were of this version where he goes, I'm not sure if I believe any of this stuff. I'm doing it. Oh, my gosh, I'm having distazo. When Jesus shows up to Thomas, however, he says, don't apistos, that's the operative letter, Greek letter, alpha, don't apistos, but pistos. Don't unbelieve, but believe. And this, I think, is really, really critical, because for John and Jesus in John, belief and relationship are part and parcel of the same thing. So all my sermons about doubt and faith being on the same side, two sides of the same coin, bleh. Here I want to offer to you a different, that doubt or that belief and relationship are two sides of the same coin. And that Thomas, for him to truly believe, for all of his idealism, all of his hopes and his dreams to come true, he needed one thing and one thing only. And that is the miraculous touch of Jesus so that he could have the strength and the belief to keep moving forward with all these boneheads who didn't live up to the standards they proclaimed. And so when he comes to him and says, I want you to not apistos, but I want you to pistos. Touch was the operative part of it. You know, Thomas really did, I believe, want to believe. And he couldn't see a way forward. And he's hanging out there week after week, looking at all these people and saying, I want to follow with you guys. And Peter's all like, oh, we've seen the Lord, let's go. And you know, like Peter, right? That's what Peter does. Peter's all hopped up and excited. And he's like, well, forget about all that denial stuff. Let's just keep moving forward. He's got the vision guy, right? He doesn't look behind, he looks forward. But Thomas is much more introspective, I believe. Maybe that's why I relate to him. Because I have a hard time letting go of stuff sometimes. But I need, you need, we need the touch of the Lord to help it make sense. Because from my own experience, I've had lots of distazo, that doubt, the pure kind of doubt. And what I've come to believe about doubt is it's not some sort of thing that is a faith killer. It's more like static on the radio. If you think that you're alone and having doubts about this, that, or the other, about your faith, about God, about Jesus, join the club, right? You're not some sort of 21st century cynic that's all above it. You, my friends, we are all dealing with the static of distazo. I would say our spiritual condition is more problematic. This is where I find myself struggling with, is not distazo, but apistos. This unbelief that is disconnected from relationship with others. We desperately need to connect our faith and the community and the eyeballs that are looking at us here, each other. That's where real faith comes in. And if you've ever been burned by the church or burned by a preacher or burned by a community, join the club, right? We're all failed, terrible, miserable human beings. But we all need the touch of Jesus to convert our unbelief, or apistos, to belief where we can touch and hold and be and experience with the Lord. And this is the way we're going to move forward. This is the way that Thomas moved forward. He was touched by the Lord, and then he had his idealism was tempered with the betrayal and was fulfilled with the relationship, and all that stuff kind of came together for him. And then when we talk about him going to India and building lots of church communities, I believe it was that one moment that gave him the strength to say, you know what? My ideals, maybe they actually will come true. Maybe all my hopes and dreams actually did come true. And it can weather any betrayal, any misery, any sort of burned experience he ever had. He could move forward with it. So if you feel full of doubt, come on. It's okay. My own experience, when I started going through seminary, when I started applying to seminary, before you get to seminary, you got to come before the church, and this thing called the discernment committee, right? And I went through the discernment committee for a long time. I mean, they were telling me all this stuff that I thought was just so stupid. Sorry, kids. I thought, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what I am like, where my call is, and who I am, and the gifts I have to offer the church, right? And they kept running me through the ringer, and after a while I thought, does the church even really want me at all? I doubt that the church wants to have me in their lives, and I'm not sure if I can keep going. But I needed the touch of Jesus to convert all this unbelief, which is kind of in your head and disconnected from relationship. I needed Jesus to come in and touch me. And I got that experience once I finally went to seminary, because I thought, man, I had the worst discernment process ever. And I got around other seminarians, and I thought, I had the best discernment process ever. Right? One divorce, a lost child, two marriages, layoffs, 15 years of discernment, having bishops and priests say terrible, terrible things to them. And I thought, I'm going to keep my mouth shut from now on. And what I found from these other wannabe clergy is that we all had distazo. We all had doubts along the way. And that never, ever negated their call to ministry. But we were all tempted to practice apistos. We were all tempted to pull back and say, I'm not sure if I belong here, because I'm not sure if I can be part of these people. If you've ever felt like that, know your clergy have felt that thing too. Have you ever felt like you've had unbelief, not sure if you can fully commit? Know that your clergy have gone through that too. And what we need is for Jesus to come through our walls, to come through our betrayals, to come through our messes, and simply to touch us. It ain't going to fix the messes, but it'll fix our hearts. It will help us to believe with strength and power and mercy to practice those very things that we crave. And then Jesus will come along, and he's going to bless us. And he don't care about our distazos. What he cares about is to touch us. Amen.